I was just talking about the devotion to God and to the Master, you see. True worship lies in the fact that man must be true to the words of the Master, the God speaking through him. What he says is the Bible, is the Veda, is the Grantha, is the Quran. Take it as Bible truth, you see, and act on it. By simply paying obeisance outside, that won't help you. Unless you pay obeisance to the words and the commandments given by the Master, the God in him. Right? Many people come to this system. What for? Only to have personal interest in that. Name and fame, I am the biggest worker in the satsang. Just having control, otherwise, where people just look to my beck and call, like that. He wants to just to perceive the Master too. He said the Master work is going on only through us, but for us. Such like attitude, these people go on so long as their interests are served, they'll go on. When their interests are marred somehow or other, directly or indirectly, they'll go against the Master openly. Such instances have been always in the times of the Master too. Even Judas was played against Christ, isn't it? It was you crucified him. Even in all sessions, people come of different tastes. I am telling you, those who come with two hearts, really for devotion to God, they will have God. But if they come with some purpose in view, maybe name and fame, maybe some lucrative point of view, you see, maybe for some purpose here and there, well, such like people cannot derive the full benefit of coming to the Mass. Just you see, those very people who were become the, I mean, commander of the satsang, those very people, when their interests are not served, they go against the Master. People say, what is all that? He was the most devoted man. Well, he was not devoted to the Master, he was devoted to his personal interests. Leave your home for the sake of God, all through the way, don't think of anything else. When you reach the place, don't think of who has come or who has not come. Only you and between you and the Master, there should be no one, nobody else. We strike friendships within the way. And they can tell them that, well, this is the way to love God. Well, look here, love God. Love does not mean sexual love. No, let me be very frank, you see. They begin to love physically. The result is their time between the Master and the man concerned. This is all. I have been very explaining these things openly. Nowhere you'll find like that. But still with that, this disease goes on. People, I again wish you must be true to your own self. The God is within you, the Master is within you. If you are true to him, you have to fear none. But for the sake of interest, selfish motives, people come for name or fame or some other lucrative point of view. When those purposes are served, you are very devoted, I am the servant of servants and this and that. When that is little satisfied, then those very people proclaim openly, oh, such and such we have seen the one. So this is the point discussed here, you see. When you come to the Master, heart is one. You can give heart to one, not to hundreds, you see. If you give to God, then love all God for the sake of God. All of you. Not for the... We love people and forget God, not for them. In that way, nobody will stand between you and the Master. You will have full benefit, you derive full benefit of coming to the Master. You follow me? This is the point discussed here. Simply read two lines and ponder over what is in there and put it in practice. You may be doing so many things in your brain, but you don't act even on one word of that. Then what to do? There's a story that five Pandavas, brothers, went to their guru. The first day lesson was, we speak the truth. Go and remember these. They all left. The second day, the four brothers came up and the Yudhishthira did not come up. Third day, fourth day, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days passed. All were coming, but Yudhishthira did not turn up. Those four brothers told the Guru, look here, that is very simple. You said, speak the truth, we have remembered these very words, the very moment you uttered it. But very strange how bad, I would say, such like Yudhishthira. He had not been able to remember these few words, speak the truth. Then he came up after some days and said, Master, I remember. And he never spoke lie or through lies. Such like attitude will make you perfect. You know so many things, you don't put it into practice, even one of them, that's what you become. If you want to derive the full benefit of attaining, being at the feet of your master, or by joining any school of thought, if you don't obey the commandments of your master, how can you proceed for them? Student comes, master gives you a lesson, and the student does not remember that lesson what is given, then he does not care to proceed. How far can he proceed further? Master gives some lesson, he memorizes it, then again comes, the master gives furthermore. He does not even remember the very first lesson. Then how can he proceed? Then you come here like a business, like I tell you, very strange, only paying obeisance, telling only humility outer way, that won't help you, mind that. If you love me, Christ said, keep my commandments. So, if you love me, then keep my commandments. So, you people come here with all due deference. Why you waste your time? You come here for some higher purpose. Make the use of this, best use of this. Only for wishy-washy way you come here to your visit like a custom, only thing, you see, that won't give you anything. So this is what is explained here. This book, you see, is gems, I would say. These points have been discussed in detail. This has gone through me with the grace of my God Guru, you see, and every detail has been discussed here with His grace. And those people who go into the depths of the thing, they know what is what. Start one thing from today. Well, speak the truth. Come after a month, I'll be glad. If you start one thing, all other things will follow. See? Don't harm anybody in mind, thought, word and thought. You remember it, then your mind will be clear. As the chastity, thought, word and deed, then radiation is your right. So if you love God, and God is in every body, the temple of God resides in every heart. If you love God, you naturally love all others in whom He resides. Then whom you are going to deceive, perhaps. We know mentally certain things. Our brain is full of libraries of these things, but not a single point is digested and put into life. That is where there is no change. You have been keeping diaries for how long? Most of you do not keep. Most of you. I think of faith in the West, I have got about 80% people keeping diaries. Here I think in 5% won't keep diaries. You follow me? Keep diary, be very, very hard task, master, watch your life. Stick to it. I tell you, just digest one thing. Then put in daily time to your practices. And 2.5 hours. How many there will put in daily? You sit, only then mind you will tell you got very perfect way. You got something to start daily at the very initiation. Somebody asked Yogi and others, How long will it take to have light with the sun? At least 5 years penance it will give you light. You get very first day. How fortunate you are. With all that you don't keep up it. You don't maintain it. Those are maintaining quite appreciable. I'm talking to all of you, those who don't care. I would rather have only one or two men coming here rather than 100 here. Don't wait. I love you, man, with all your imperfections. And husband assured me, as Gandhi said, and husband loves his wife with all his drawbacks, infirmities. He said, I love Congress with all these shortcomings. I love you all with all your shortcomings. Why? Because you are sons of God. You see, God resides with you. I wish you come direct. You got the man body, make the best use of the man body you have got. Only for that reason. Sometimes you pay more attention to one, they say, oh, that attention is only to bring you up. And that is also according to the commandment of my master. You see, what is the standard? If you don't come up to the standard, you are taught then. These things have put before you so many times. I tell you very plainly, if you don't live up to what you are told, you cannot progress. Initiation helps you, of course, in your love for the Master, love for the light within you, you live up to it. If not, you don't care, you keep, take the medicine and put it in the shelf and don't use it, then please, you will have to come back again. Of course, not below man body. But what is the use of coming back? You have got the man body now. Why can't you make the best use of the things you have wanted? Your soul touches this, God into pervading power, into expression power, all sins will be one. You are not to return. And much of the time of earthly life has passed already. Where we stand? Please do live up to what you are here. You come here. You come here for your own purposes and don't live up to what you are told, that you are deceiving all others too. I tell you, you don't deceive you, but all others. Oh, this man is going to such a his life is such a day, his life is such a day. People point to fingers to you. Such a low man, why? What is satsang teaching? You defame the satsang. You become the source of deception to others. Is all this taught by the satsang here? Come to senses, please. This is all what I can say. Aapke yahan nahi aane ka kya fayda? आप भी उस बात को नहीं उठाया था जो तुमको देखते जाते हो तुम्हारे जीवन वैसे ही धंधा होकर सत्संग दिया था लोगों के धोखा बने संबंधी मिल कम तो भाई साहब आते हो तो लिव अप टू वर्ट योर ट्रोट लव फॉर गॉड लव फॉर एवरी बॉडी जस्ट टेक वन बाय वन एंड पुट इट इन योर लाइफ प्रैक्टिस एंड यू चेंज एनीबॉडी यू सी यू रन अप हियर come with the only purpose of knowing God. They know the subject taught here, no agriculture, no engineering, medicine or nothing of this art. Only how to contact with God. That's a school for that purpose. It is a school of spirituality and nothing else. So jis kaam ke liye aate ho, wo kaam yahan tumhare aane ka matlab kya? Prabhu ko pao yahi hai ki aur kuch? अगर यही है तो उससे पूरा फायदा उठाओ तो देखिए व्हाट आई टेल यू सी दीज आर वेरी गोल्डन जेम्स यू गॉट हियर थिंक ऑफ देम मेक यू पार्ट एंड पार्सल ऑफ योर लाइफ हाउ टू यू गाइस सब नाउ यू चेंज गॉड इज आफ्टर सच पीपल हु आर रियली ट्रूली वांट हिम व्हाई यू शुड रन आफ्टर गॉड गॉड विल रन आफ्टर यू to find out where he can work to live with God. Baba Jamal Singh went out to find Baba Saman Singh in the Mari Hills from Bihar. There are thousands and thousands of other people residing in Punjab. Why did you go there? You were just watching who is the fish man in the water. All my ship find out, you see, it is not only giving only what you say. Your votes, you make some minister or make some president, no, not, it is a commission from God, a man. He is after the man, if you become man. Communist told, you see, in my mind is so clear with love of God, you see, nothing else is there. As limpid as Ganges water is limpid, you see. You see the very smallest sand. The particle of sand also you see from the water, so very limpid and clear. So my mind has become like that, he says, and God is running after me. Oh Kabir, wait, I'm after you, you see. Why should you be running after God? God is after, find from, where is the man? We are beasts in men, I tell you. We are not men in it. Man is one who has love for God and love for all creation for the sake of God. All of us are beasts. That's all. We do acts of beasts and openly we, what do you say, we personate like godly men, you see. The beast in you should be got out. And God is after such like people. He is after running, finding out where. No need whether he is black or white or east or west. That makes no difference. All is creation, you see. It is a very important thing to discuss, you see. What is given in this all scriptures, you see. It is digest. Concentration brings you. You can read anybody's mind, anything beyond all walls, you see. That's also a supernatural power which stands in the way. But unless you are dyed with the love of God, you see, God is God, then you are nowhere. In Bhattu Kong, just remember, an act up to it, not only remembrance, but act up. The more you act up to it, you will derive the full benefit of coming to the Master and also to have the man body. Now the subject was going on, you see, we are under great delusion. And what is that delusion we are, in which we are adrift, that we are the indweller of the man body. But we have identified with the body so much so that we have become as it were is the body itself. So this body has been given to us with the grace of God to find your way back to God. Your conscious entity, the top of the ocean of all consciousness. With His grace you got this highest rung in creation, man body, the highest rung in creation, in which you can go back to your true home of Father. But we are under a grand delusion. Why? For two reasons. This body is made of matter, and the whole world is made of matter. Matter is changing. Every minute at the same speed as our body is changing. Because we have identified ourselves with the man body. When two things are changing at the same speed and we are identified with that thing, all this appears to be stationary, not changing. That is grand delusion. Suppose you are some men are rowing in a boat. And the boat is going that way where the water of the river is flowing, you see, the same way. You are identified with the boat. The speed of the boat and the water of the river is the same. When you are there, you appear to be stationary. So how to be out of this delusion? Body is changing, you see. And also the world is made of matter that is also changing. There are two ways to be out of this delusion. One, foresight. When a man is sitting in the boat, let him see to the corners of the river, the shores of it. You will find that you are going down the stream. Or the best way is to be out of the boat, and you will see the boat is run down. So Master's advice, oh man, you are under a grand delusion, whether you are learned or unlearned. You see, rich or poor, you must be out of this delusion to enable you to see this world in its right. So there are two ways. First one is taken by foresight. And the effective way there is go down, sit in a graveyard, you see, or in a place where the dead bodies are burnt, you see. There you feel some are coming, the other, some are carrying the dead bodies on their shoulders and they put underground or put, consigned it to flames, then go back. But so much we are forgotten ourselves, we see with our own eyes, we carry the dead bodies on our own shoulders, but we are not convinced that we have to leave the body. How grand delusion it is. So one way is like that, and the other way is just to be out of the body. And just as you would be out of the boat, you will see boat is rolling down, everybody is rolling, water is flowing down, and the man who are identified with the boat, they are also flowing down. So for that the Master said, you must learn how to leave the body. Learn to die so that you may begin to live. You must rise above body consciousness. Then you will see everything is right, perfect. This is the state of our body which you are carrying. And what about all relatives? They have been just brought together as a reaction of our past karma, you see, give and take. When that is finished, everybody has to leave, take his own way. So this body won't remain here, all along with us. Nor all others who have come together as a reaction of the past. They will also leave us, or we will leave them. Along with that, all other possessions are going to be left here. This very body, who is the first companion we have got when we come to the earth on birth, when that leaves us, how all other things which have come only in connection with the body, how can they go along with us? That is why Christ said, lay by treasures in the other where the ants won't eat. This place, earth or man body, is not the place to live forever. We have to leave someday, all, sooner or later. We are very great philosophers did come to the world. Very masters came to the world. They had man body, they left it. No exception to the rule. So unless we have got the right perfect right view, we cannot see things as they are, truly. Master say, oh, look, you have to leave the world, these things will remain here, you will go empty-handed. Then our heart don't, are not convinced to see the things in their right color. You see, there are only two ways. One, with foresight, just a man rowing down in the boat to the corners of the river. Or the other way is to leave the boat and come out. So this is the grand illusion in which we are all going down. If we just these things are brought home, you see, then every angle of vision will change. Why we molest others? Why we squeeze blood of others? Why we torment other people? Never. They have got the same man body as we have got. They are the same, I mean, the sense of it, as a font like us, top of the ocean of all consciousness, and the same controlling power keeping everyone else in the body. So highest aim is to know, to rise into God consciousness, you see. And that will come only when you know yourself, who you are. You are not the man body. You are dwelling in the man body, the highest in all, rung in all creation. So we have to make the best use of it, how to be out of it. For that purpose, Master always advised, rise above body force, learn to die so that you may begin to live. You will right. Spectacles will go, see through. Everything appears in the right perspective. So that is why all masters know themselves. We are bearing, of course, the labels of different schools of thought in which we have joined, only to realize this truth. When you realize only, then your attachments will be cut out, you see. Then you know you have to go, you have to leave. Father, you people have come from America. For how many days? A month, two or three or six? You know you have to go back. Although you are here, enjoying, still you think you have to go back. You just have that another vision. By rising above body consciousness, you will always be conscious knowing this is not our home. The home of the soul is the home of our Father. Fortunate we are, we have got the man body, in which we can go back to the home of our true Father. And in no other lower classes of creation, you see, they are only reaction, they are coming to reap what they have acted before, reap the fruit of that. In man body we have also got this as a reaction of the past, but here we are free also within certain limits to direct ourselves, put them on the right way back to God, that's all. And ABC will start when you rise above body consciousness. You learn how to lead the body at will. Then whole angle of vision will be changed. This is how you can be out of this grand illusion we are all in. When you know you are not the man body, you have got the man body, you are conscious entity, you have got the man body, you have got the intellect, but you are yourself conscious being. And you have been just given this man body, and by the grace of God, to enable you to go back to your home. It does not mean anyhow to leave the world and go to the forest, do you think? But remain here, pay off your debts, gives and takes, you see, and find your way back to God. All these relations, you see, they are brought together only as reactions of the past. To pay off their debts, you see, pay them off with love. Just be not deluded as we are now. We think perhaps this is the only place, this we live here forever, but nobody has lived here forever. This is a golden opportunity we have got to find our way back to God. So for that very purpose we have done various schools of thought. The badges we are carrying only relate to your body, but you have got the man body. These are labels put on the man body. You are conscious entity. Your tomb is not this. Your tomb is one which is all consciousness. to find way back to God, the first lesson is that you are under a grand delusion. You must come out of that.
Hello, and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kirpal Singh. The recording you just heard was from two of Master's morning talks. The first one was named Obedience to the Master. It was given on January 12, 1968. And the second was called Learn to Die from November 1, 1967. Our reader this evening is Rick Casey. Hello, Rick.
And good evening, everyone. I'm going to continue reading from the book God-Man on the Ruhani Satsang website, picking up where I left off in Chapter 7. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Matthew 7:7. It is, therefore, all the more necessary that a seeker after truth must first find an adept in truth, fully conversant with the spiritual path leading to reality, and obtain his lessons from him and practice them under his direct supervision, guidance, and control. Without these prerequisites, there cannot be a ghost of a chance for success. In Katha Upanishad, we come across a dictum: awake, arise, and stop not until the goal is reached. The knowledge of God can be had from a man of God. At every step, an aspirant feels the need of the Master's strong and long arm, which alone can reach him, save him, and keep him on the path and lead him correctly. Maulana Rumi says, first, find a peer, adept in the line, for without a peer, the way is beset with dangers, difficulties, and tribulations. Whoever attempts to walk on this path by himself is sure to be led astray by Satan and thrown down the precipice. Without the overpowering influence of a God-man, you are bound to become bewildered by the howling cries of ghouls. Many a wise and intelligent person attempted this path alone, but by the wiles of the negative powers came to a sad end. Many a time the ghouls imitate the sounds of the Master, and these may drag thee to perdition. It is through the loving grace of the Master that a spirit can get out of the prison house of the body. From here, the luminous form of the Master directly takes charge of the spirit and directs her at every step with his loving grace. The intricate and bewildering turns and twists of the path are easily passed through with the help of the Satguru. The subtle and causal planes are a vast wilderness for the soul, and it is unsafe for her to traverse them by herself. Maulana Rumi tells us in this context, take a fellow traveler with thee, and travel not alone on this path. Do not venture in this wilderness by thyself alone. Hafiz Sahib also gives the same advice. Do not attempt these stages alone. In the bewildering darkness, you are sure to lose your way. Chapter 8. Without a guru, all is darkness. Without a guru, we are in utter darkness. The reality remains a mere miasma and a mirage. It is an unwritten law, an unspoken language, quite unintelligible, except when a master soul, by his personal attention, makes it significant. The glamour of the world is so great and overbearing that passing phantoms appear stable and substantial. The untrue puts on the mantle of truth, and we cannot possibly tear aside the magic veil and escape from the false charm in which we are enveloped. It is the Master's grace that can pull a spirit out of the physical sheath right above the plane of senses, enabling her to move unfettered to higher spiritual visions and attain her native Godhead. Without a master, it is sheer darkness, and one sinks into bottomless depths. An embodied spirit cannot have bliss unless it obtains experience of itself through the grace of a living master. He initiates her into esoteric knowledge, which has to be practiced in the laboratory of the human mind. Without a master, there is blinding darkness, and one simply cannot know. Without a master, spirit does not become spirit, and there be no salvation for her. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that you must have a master. O mind, ye must turn to some master soul, accept as master an adept in the sound principle, and he shall wash thee clean of all impurities. The master, both by his attention and his instruction, imparts the knowledge of truth. He who has never seen a master soul nor accepted one simply wastes his life in this world. A jiva is always in stark darkness. If he closes his eyes, there is darkness within. Again, he is enveloped in total ignorance. He who can dispel this darkness of jivas is called a guru. The term guru consists of two words, gu, meaning darkness, and ru, meaning light. Hence, guru means one who can lead us from darkness to light, from untruth to truth, and from death to immortality. The illustrious poet Kalidas speaks of the guru. He converts darkness into light and makes the invisible God visible. As a jiva is clothed in ignorance, all his actions, too, are born of ignorance and thus keep him in bondage. The saints declare that without a master soul to guide us, all charitable deeds and meritorious acts, like study of the scriptures, keeping of fasts and vigils, performance of pilgrimages, observance of social customs and rituals, and scrupulous adherence to strict religious injunctions, as of old, do not help in the liberation of a soul. Kabir Sahib, therefore, in very strong terms, warns us against such acts. The telling of beads and acts of charity without a master soul to guide go in vain. None of these bears any fruit. Bula Shah tells us, O Bula, without a master, all thy devotion would be barren. Unless the inner eye is opened and contact is established with the power within, nothing can be of any avail. We have a necessity to seek a master who is competent to wean us from all outer pursuits, pull the spirit out of the plane of the senses, and lead her step by step from one plane to another until she is led back to her prenatal home, Satchkhand, or Mukwam Ihak. He dispels all doubts born of darkness and gives us heaven's light as a guide, unfailing and unfaltering. With the guru, the darkness is dispelled. Guru is there wherever one may turn. With no vision in our eyes, the light of hundreds of moons and thousands of suns can do us no good. Such a radiant effulgence would surely fail to end the darkness of the eyes. In exactly the same way, when there is no vision in the inner eye, we cannot see the wonderful brilliance of the soul, and we remain steeped in pitch darkness. Hundreds of moons and thousands of suns together may rise. Even with such radiance, there is not a speck of light. Chapter 9, Historical Evidence. We have the testimony of history to show that one cannot have access to spiritual regions by one's own self. In the Shastras, it is mentioned that Narad was refused admittance into Vishnupuri, the land of Vishnu, when he by himself attempted to enter into that kingdom, because he had not been initiated by any guru. Again, Sukhdev Swami, the son of Ved Vyas, with all his spiritual knowledge and learning, right from his conception in his mother's womb, could not enter the kingdom of Vishnu until he accepted Raj Rishi Janak as his spiritual mentor. Nowhere do we come across any instance in which an uninitiated jiva by himself may have been allowed to enjoy this privilege. All born saints, though very few, come into the world with esoteric knowledge right from their birth, but have for form's sake to adopt a master. Kabir Sahib, for instance, had to accept Sri Ramananda as his master. In spite of their completed spiritual background, they had to associate with saints, as one would do in a refresher course. Guru Amar Das tells us that it is God's law that one cannot even think of him without being reminded of him by some master of truths. It is ordained by God himself that one thinks of him, only when he meets a master of truth, God-man. Again, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. John 6:44. The generality of mankind simply cannot do without a master soul. Even Lord Rama and Lord Krishna, the very incarnations of Vishnu, had to bow down before Maharishi Vashit and Ingris Rishi, respectively. When such high-souled personages with sway extending as far as the causal region had to accept a spiritual guide, we ordinary human beings cannot dispense with this absolutely basic necessity. Guru Nanak emphatically declares that the importance of Guru can be known from Brahma, Narad, and Ved Vyas. O brother, without a guru, you cannot have absolute truth, as opposed to relative knowledge through perception by the senses. You may verify this by reference to Brahma, Narad, and Vishnu. Tulsi Sahib says, "Who is greater than Rama and Krishna? They too had to accept a master. Lord of the three regions, physical, astral, and causal, they too had to bow before a master." Everyone who has made any mark in spirituality has had the backing of some master soul. Raj Rishi Janak got a practical demonstration in spirituality from Maharishi Ashtavakra. Gorakh Nath received his initiation from Mahendra Nath. Arjuna the warrior prince of the Pandavas, learned his lessons in spirituality from Lord Krishna. Swami Vivekananda sat at the feet of Paramhas Ramakrishna, the saint of Dakshineshwar. Among the Sikhs, Guru Nanak molded Lena and made Angad out of him, his Ang, or limb, and the latter, in turn, raised Amar Das to the status of a guru, and so on. Maulana Rumi tells us that he got his spiritual impetus from Shams-e-Tabriz. A Molvi, schoolteacher, could not become a Maulana, leader in theology, if it were not for the grace of Shams-e-Tabriz. Again, O Sakhi, Master, come and look with favor upon the Maulana. From housetops he cries, he is a slave of Shams-e-Tabriz. Many a Mahatma has in his discourses paid homage to his divine preceptor, and though some have not made any such mention, there could be no denying the fact that light comes from light and life from life, and that mind and matter-ridden jivas cannot awaken and arise in cosmic awareness unless pulled up by some master soul. Chapter 10. Before and After Guru Nanak. There is always food for the hungry and water for the thirsty. A babe that was born 500 years ago was provided by Dame Nature with milk from the mother's breast. And so was the case with one who came into the world 1,000 years back. Those who are born in the present age are also being provided with similar means of sustenance. The law of supply and demand is an immutable one in nature. In exactly the same way, this law works inexorably in spiritual matters also. For the aspirants before the time of Guru Nanak, or in this age or hereafter, nature cannot but provide the means of satisfying their aspirations. To delimit a particular period of one or two centuries as the period of gurus, and to say that there were no master souls before or after that particular time is against the fundamental law of supply and demand, and hence incorrect. The teachings of the masters are for all times and not for any particular period. They utter eternal truths which hold good for eternity and are the common heritage of mankind in general. Their seed dictum, for instance, is that God is one and is the gift of a God-man. It is an axiomatic truth, self-evident, and hardly needs any comment. In Anurag Sagar, Kabir Sahib tells us that he came into the world in all the four yugas, or cycles of time. Bhagat Bani was in existence long before Gur Bani. From Guru Granth Sahib and the verses of Bhai Gurdas, we learn that from age to age, people benefited from Shabd or Bani. Krishna and Bal Bhadra both bowed before a guru. Namdev, the calico printer, and Kabir, the weaver, learned the esoteric science from a guru. Bani has been in existence in all the four cycles of time, and carries the message of truth. Shabd is true, and Bani is true. God men have from age to age explained this. In the biography of Guru Nanak by Bhai Bala, Guru Nanak is said to have stated that in this Kali Yuga Iron Age, many a saint would come to lead people Godward. 70 Bhagats and 14 saints would come during this period. The saints would carry shiploads of people homeward. Those who would not believe would flounder, and those who are slaves of their lower selves would not be accepted. From the above, it is clear that both Guru and Gurbani have always existed side by side. It is the Guru who has ever been the means of helping the seekers after truth. O God, thy saints have at all times been in the world. O God, throughout the ages, the line of gurus has been in existence. The succession of satgurus continues throughout, and they have ever preached the lesson of Nam. Chapter 11. Scriptures and Their Value. Guru is a highly spiritual being with a sway extending as far as Sach Khand. He has a first-hand knowledge of And, Brahman, and Sach Khand, the three grand divisions from physical to purely spiritual realms. Free from the clutches of body and mind, he is charged with pure spirituality. Unless a jiva comes into contact with such a being, his latent spiritual aspirations are not stirred up. The guru is really a lighted candle that lights many blown-out candles. He can, by transmitting his own life impulse, enliven others. Some persons feel that by the study of scriptures alone, they can have spiritual light and need no master for this purpose. We may pause here and consider the value and worth of the sacred books or holy scriptures. These are, after all, nothing but the records of the personal spiritual experiments and experiences of ancient sages, seers, prophets, and men of piety. It is good to read them with loving devotion. We should have respect for them, for they constitute a great treasure house of spirituality which our forefathers have left for our benefit. The sacred books and biographies of the high-souled personages create a spiritual longing and inspire us with hope and courage. We may, to a certain extent, become acquainted with the broad principles of spirituality, but cannot learn their right import nor get the life impulse, both of which come from a living master alone. Books are, after all, material things, and matter cannot impart life. Life comes from life, as light comes from light. It is only an awakened soul that can rouse us from our deep slumber. We may read scriptures for ages upon ages and perform countless sacrificial deeds, but cannot have spiritual awakening and spiritual insight. Spirituality can neither be bought nor taught, but may be caught, like any infectious disease, from one who may himself be spiritually infected, nay, rather, obsessed. The teachings of the saints have not only to be learned, but have also to be revealed. Besides knowledge of the theory of the path, it has to be seen, experienced, and verified. It is at once a science and an art, into the mysteries of which only an adept can safely lead, guide, and take us through. God can best be served through devotion to a God-man, for it is by His grace that we can reach God. Again, even the scriptures and the past masters emphatically exhort us to find a living master. Drink the washings of the sod's feet. make a holocaust of thyself for his sake. Wash in the dust of his feet, and be a sacrifice to him. Be ye a slave to the saints. And this is all that ye need to know. Bahai Gurdas also tells us, in the Guru lies hidden all the Vedas and the sacred scriptures. A contact with him is enough to help one to safely cross over the ocean of life. We cannot know truth without the Master of Truth. God himself has to come down for this very purpose. There are persons who studiously and scrupulously study the scriptures all their lives. They know a great deal by rote and can deliver learned discourses and give high-flown talks on spiritual matters, but unfortunately are altogether devoid of spiritual knowledge and spiritual experience. Their life and conduct is as blank as that of any other. They have not learned at the root, nor drunk the water of life at the fountainhead of life. The Living Master. In Sri Asa Ki War we have, one may stuff his head with so much learning and accumulate a heavy load of knowledge. He may raise and gather a regular harvest of learning. All his life, he may go on studying from year to year, month to month, from moment to moment. O Nanak, one thing you may know for certain, he will become a bloated ass. O Nanak, one may study sacred lore by weight and be engaged ceaselessly in the task. What, after all, is the value of learning when Nam lies far beyond all holy books? Books, after all, contain a description of God's knowledge, but cannot actually deliver the goods. Know ye for certain that the essence of all knowledge and wisdom lies in Duni, sound principle, and as such, it is indescribable. The essence, then, is within us, but we cannot have it unless we know how to tap inside, as Emerson puts it. Dr. J.D. Ryan, the parapsychologist and researcher, tells us in his book, Mind and the New World, that there is something in man that transcends all matter. If spiritual knowledge could be had from books, then all the learned people would by now be saints. But in actual experience, we see that in spite of all their book learning, they continue to be as material as the very libraries that house these books. Laden with the dead weight of book knowledge, they may be likened to an ass staggering under the dead weight of sandalwood and experiencing not the sweet scent emanating therefrom. Like a ladle in the pudding, they are ignorant of the taste of the pudding. In this age of learning, when the world is literally flooded with books, there is, unfortunately, no flood of spirituality and not even a sprinkling of spiritually minded people. It is only the advent of a Master of Truth that brings spirituality into the limelight, and many there are who become dyed in spiritual colors. A conscious spirit can be activated and quickened into life by someone who is more conscious. Neither books nor intellectual knowledge can do this thing. No person, no matter how intellectual, can infuse life in another unless he himself has life. To talk of spirituality is much easier than to live spiritually. Such persons only dabble in spirituality and just make a show of it and cannot do any real good. Mulani Rumi says, "Come under the overall influence of some saint. Thou canst not find the path from a mere imitator." In the Gospel, we find the words of Christ, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." Matthew 7:15. I have come to the end of my time. I was reading from the book God-Man on the Ruhani Satsang website, chapters 7 through 11. Thank you, Master, for everything.
And thank you, Rick, for reading for us. There were 53 people at this evening's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Master, for providing this for us.
The first principle of devotion and bhakti is what? To know that God is everywhere. We are living in Him, He is in us. If this right understanding comes in, then naturally we'll follow right thoughts. With right thoughts, you will be right speech. And with right speech, you will have right actions.